Okay, thank you very much. Yes, I am not Norice Ledesma. I am Richard Campbell, and we're going to switch gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about the floral morphology of six mangiferous species of Southeast Asia. And I mean we're switching gears a little bit because these are crops that are all tropical. They're native to Borneo, Indonesia, Malaysia, throughout Southeast Asia, a little bit into mainland Asia, but they're very large trees. There's actually 69 edible species that we're dealing with. These are in the Anacardiaceae, okay? And they are, so it's related to poison ivies and, you know, any other some of our nut crops too, but we aren't using them for the nuts, though. We use them for the fruit. We're interested in these as agronomic crops, for horticultural crops. There's also a great deal of interest in mangiferous species for conservation. They're one of the main foods of orangutans, and also in conservation work. So we work a lot with different conservation groups in conserving mangiferous species, but that's not what I'm really talking about. I'm talking about our work with these in order to get baseline information on these species for breeding and for improvement and creating new crops. Many of you may not have seen these crops. You can see all that middle group there. I don't have a pointer here, do I? I don't know how to work it. So anyway. The mouse? Oh, look at that. Yes, I can use a mouse. Okay. The question is, can I use it, I guess. So anyway, these are different species in here. This is Mangifera foetida, Mangifera caiesia. There's also some Mangifera larinas, Mangifera rubra-patella. It's a big complex of different species that we're very interested in because they are very large, very good fruit, and they're extremely unknown. So they're eaten as a fresh fruit, like you see here. These are Mangifera caiesia called binjais. They're also very important in religion and ceremony. Entire religions based around these fruit and the way they use them. And certainly for subsistence crops in Borneo, they eat both the leaves, they eat the fruit, they use the latex, they use them for medicines, they're used in many different ways. So they're very important in their local cultures. So our objectives was to get the baseline botanical information for a breeding program. And what we did for this talk was we did observation on flower structure, measurements of flower number, different types, male and female, and really looking at hermaphroditic versus male flowers for our breeding program. It's a big problem, not only with alternate bearing with ours, we also have ones that produce just male flowers. So we have we obviously want to select for ones that have high hermaphroditic flowers. And the part I left out about this, we've been collecting these over the past 25 years and getting them into cultivation. This is all being grown in Miami, Florida at Fairchild Garden. So just to jump into it pretty fast, this is a mangiferous species. We also are, the other reason we're getting these baseline information, all of the information for the floral structure on these plants comes from herbarium specimens. Most of the information comes from the late 1800s. Nobody has studied these flowers for the past 100 years. Nobody's been able to grow them here in this hemisphere. So we actually grow about 35 species now in the field in Miami. And so that's why we're trying to get this information on the fresh flowers and really make a baseline. So this species, we don't know we don't know what species it is. It's called Rampagni. We are also doing a concurrent genetic study to identify these things properly. This is the inflorescence. They are aromatic. They smell like lilacs and jasmine. What's very interesting is Mangifera indica, the mango, the thing we all know is the mango. That is not attractive to bees, by the way, and they don't smell like, they smell like fetid meat, essentially. So they're pollinated by flies, wasps, those kind of things. But these do not. These are pollinated by Hymenoptera in Asia, by Asian honeybees, and in our condition, they also will be pollinated by European honeybees. The other interesting thing about them is flowering is not triggered by low temperatures like it is in Mangifera indica. So we can't rely on our winters to time these things. So this is another big issue we have for in a breeding program. This gives you a little look at the flower itself. This is, again, Mangifera species Rampagni. Beautiful little flowers. You have hermaphroditic and male flowers. Here you have a hermaphrodite is there. And the male is there. And so the hermaphroditic flower has 5 sepals, 5 petals, a fertile stamen, 4 staminodes, and 1 pistil, whereas the male flower has just the sepal, 5 sepals, 5 petals, 1 fertile stamen, 4 staminodes, and no pistil, of course. We are interested in that, but what I'm really interested in is how many we have of each. So this is actually not a very good species for us. We don't like this because it has a lot of male flowers. This is a big problem also on Mangifera indica, by the way. You oftentimes in breeding programs, if we select the wrong parent, we end up with Mangifera indica species, mango species that produce male flowers and never produce hermaphrodites. It becomes a real issue. Obviously, you want to have sexual capability in your crosses. Another one we use here is Mangifera castori. The common name of this mango or this species is called castori. This is an Indonesian species grown commercially throughout Java and Sumatra, extinct in the wild now. But very, very useful crop, and it's been in cultivation for a number of years. Quite a different looking flower, has that brown color and yellow. Also, though, very good aroma, pollinated by bees. And the hermaphrodite flower there has the 4 sepals, 4 petals, and the fertile stamen, and the 3 staminodes and 1 pistil. And the male flower does not have, they obviously is missing the pistil. And we like this. This is one of our main ones we've been using in the cross, though, because we have a lot of hermaphroditic flowers in this species. This has been one of our very good, this actually has a very good flavor. It actually doesn't taste like you would consider a mango to taste like. If you all know what mangoes taste like, and by the way, mangoes don't taste like what the mangoes you see in a grocery store, but that's unfortunate. This tastes actually like lychees and passion fruit, much more. It's a very nice fruit. And by the way, orangutans really like this fruit, and it's true. I'm not kidding you. Now, another one that we are using is a species that's been around a long time, all through, if you've ever traveled in through Jakarta and in those markets, you'll see this fruit here. This is a Lalajiwo, Mangifera Lalajiwo. And if you ever see the two E's in the word, you always know they come from Indonesia. This is a fruit that's actually eaten green and it has pockets of honey that comes into the flesh right in here. And that's why they call this the honey mango. And it has some very clear spots of a gel inside there that's excellent to eat. That's what the flowers look like. And it has 5 sepals, 5 petals, 1 fertile stamen, 4 staminodes, and 1 pistil. And the male flower has the 4 sepals, 4 petals, the fertile stamens, the staminodes, and the pistils. And we're just getting all these basic data because there's none of this data in the literature for these species. And in order to use these in a breeding program, we really have nowhere to go until we get all this done. They have a good ratio of hermaphrodites to male flowers. This is a very useful species for us. It's been a very good parent. I also want to show you just what a couple of these other species look like. This is called Kawini. This is called, they call it a durian mango or a Kawini. This one has a very, very strong aroma. We use it as a parent. We're very interested in the size and the quality, but maybe not the aroma. Although, one thing I have to mention about tropical fruit, we like strong aromas in our tropical fruits. So if you look in most tropical fruit in most countries, they weren't developed in with air conditioning or cold, so the aroma is what everyone's looking for. So if you want a good quality one, you want aroma. So if you have a Kawini that doesn't smell strong, then you have a lousy Kawini. So we are actually carrying that through with the breeding, but I will say most people don't consider this to be a very pleasant aroma fruit. This one is Mangifera foetida, which is another one of our parents. We like it because you can't tell in this picture, but that fruit's about this big. This fruit actually has laticifers that go through the flesh, and it's a little bit problematic because the latex in mangoes causes a lot of allergic reaction. So when you eat a Mangifera foetida or a bachang, you better be a mango lover, because otherwise, if you have problems with poison ivy, poison wood, and stuff like that, you may go to the hospital with this fruit because it actually has the toxin in the flesh. Mangifera indica does not, by the way. But the another one we use is Mangifera rubra patella. This is another species that's now extinct in the wild. Very, very good fruit. Although it's small, we're trying to not use small fruit. We'd rather have big fruit to start with a bigger fruit and not, you know, I'd rather not start with the small things. No offense to pistachios and pecans and things, but in if we're trying to sell Mangiferas, we want big fruit. This is another one that we're identifying the species. We now do know what this is. This is one of the ones that actually has been our most successful parents. It actually has 100% hermaphrodites. And so it's very important in our breeding program. And it's very attractive to bees, which is important for us in our caging thing, because having to raise flies in a breeding program is a lot more difficult for us than to be able to put bees into our breeding cages. So we're very glad if we can get ones that attract bees. This is a, I have to say our, the woman in this picture was not a fisherman, because if she was holding that forward like a good fisherman would do, you'd see how big that fruit was. Okay. That's actually a 3.5 kilo, fruit. That thing is this big. Okay. And this is a species that we're very interested in using in our breeding program. All of these species, all the ones I've just shown you now, are really borderline cultivated. They're all maintained by tribal people in Borneo, and so they've never really been taken out of cultivation, and we're just learning how to adapt them, just learning how to domesticate them and to get them into a breeding program so we can try to make something out of them. This was actually that white-fleshed one from the first slides there. This is Mangifera chiesia or Binjai. This is the most expensive non-durian fruit in markets in Borneo, and that's saying a lot. This is a very sought-after fruit, has an excellent flavor. It does not look like much. It looks like a potato, but it is a, no offense to potatoes, but it is a very expensive wild mango to be eaten, and if you've ever had a good guanabana, this actually has a lot of flavor like a guanabana. And I also want to show the other species that we just brought in, which is Mangifera torquenda or Lamatan. And I want to recognize the people that really have, I don't have a slide with everyone's name working in this project, but This is Rosalyn Andrews of the Lumbawang tribe, and all of our work is done in conjunction with indigenous people throughout Malaysia, Indonesia, Cambodia, everywhere we go. Without their knowledge of the fruit we're working with and without the ability to show us where they are and to help us to figure out how to get them into cultivation, all of this work is being done in conjunction with them, and we now do have, like I said, about anywhere between 35 and 40 species now growing in South Florida of all these species, and we now have 6 in our breeding program because the others are still too small. And in 50 years, we will be able to talk about new crops and make whole new things, because we're crossing all these back with Mangifera indica. And that's why we're just really trying to get this baseline data on all of these species in order to know where we're going with them, and also to help us in the vouchering. All these species have to be into herbariums, vouchered, so we can publish on them, so we can know, so we can actually get to the point where we're being able to do genetic studies on them and know what we're working with. Because at this point, all of these species are so confused, we don't even know. We didn't know up until a couple years ago what we had or what we were working with. So if I have time for any questions. Okay. Yes.
Is there anything being done about conserving them in the wild? It sounds like there's a lot of ongoing experiments.
Yeah, we have ongoing cooperative programs with Indonesia, with Malaysia, with Brunei Darussalam, other countries also, where we actually go in and since we know how to graft these things now, we actually use interstocks. It's taken us a long time to figure out how to clonally propagate. We don't do any of this by seeds. It's all clonal. And so we then go back in, do training seminars with their people, make community gardens throughout Indonesia. Right now there's a big push in Indonesia, province by province, to have clonal garden for their native fruits. And we actually have a lot of the information about them, and the tribes that we work with. We can cross across tribes also, because I'm not from the Iban or the Lumbawang, so I can work with both, and I don't have a problem with that. So we are definitely doing that. Yeah, there was a question here too. Yes, yes and yes. It definitely varies by year. What happens is in Mangifera indica, it actually varies. We'll get multiple blooms within a single season. Mangiferas don't initiate bloom ahead of time. It's a transient initiation. So if you get in Mangifera indica, it's a cold trigger, but if it gets warm, they'll go back, and if it gets warm, they'll revert to males. With the Mangifera indicas, we don't know what reverts them back and forth, because there is no cold trigger on them. It's mainly drought. So as soon as their growth arrests for a short time, they get ready to bloom. But we don't even know what stresses will make it. We've been replicating these studies now for a number of years, looking at the ratio. The ratio varies quite a bit. It isn't though on or off. I mean, we definitely they tend to, with the species at least, we haven't seen as big a switch as we have with Mangifera indica. And with Mangifera indica, you can have entire blooms that have no females at all, no hermaphrodites at all. Which is not fun as a grower, as you know. That's no fun, yeah. Okay, thank you.